I'm Megan Lynch. This is Total Information AM on KMOX. You've heard me talk about the St. Louis Walk to End Alzheimer's. It's happening this Saturday in Chesterfield. All the talk about Alzheimer's, though, may have you wondering if there's anything you can personally do to prevent the disease. I spoke with Dr. Eric Music, professor of neurology at WashU, and also works in the Memory Diagnostic Center, about that possibility.
Yeah, there's been a lot of research in this area because my patients are worried about this. And the answer is, we think the answer is yes. We don't know for certain. A lot of these studies, we look back in time and we say which activities that people had in middle life were associated with a lower risk of getting Alzheimer's later on. We don't necessarily know if you do those things, you're guaranteed not to get it, and nothing's 100%. But it appears that there's clearly some things that can lower your risk. Even if it's only by a few percentage points, that these things can add up over the course of a lifetime and potentially put you at lower risk for Alzheimer's disease. So there are steps you can take in your life now that can potentially leave you better off later on.
Let's talk about some of those. I'm wondering, for example, how much stress and sleep might factor into that.
Sure. So, I mean, there's evidence for both. If you have a lot of stress, you probably don't sleep enough. Those things are generally bad and they're associated with a variety of disease factors. I actually work, my research is on sleep and circadian rhythm, so I think that's very important. There's quite a bit of evidence that poor sleep during middle age can be associated with a higher risk of Alzheimer's disease later in life. People always ask, how many hours do I need to sleep? And the data at this point suggests if you're sleeping less than 5 hours a night or more than 10 hours a night, that you might be having some issues with your sleep. And most of us sleep somewhere in there in between, but not always. I think that you can do things to improve your sleep. It's hard. We all want to sleep well, and we don't necessarily want to take medication to help us sleep. But there are things you can do every day to kind of improve your sleep. One is to avoid light at night. So our sleep is driven by our internal circadian clock that tells us when to be tired and when to wake up. And if you're being exposed to a lot of bright light late at night, it messes up your internal clock and you basically have trouble sleeping. And so I tell all my patients, you know, when it's time for bed, turn off your devices, turn off the TVs, go into a dark room and sleep as opposed to being exposed to a lot of light. You can also try to keep a consistent bedtime, consistent wake time. You know, if you're going to nap for maybe less than 2 hours a day for sure. Or you can get into a cycle where maybe you're not tired at night. So there are steps you can take to improve your sleep, although it's never 100%. Certainly when there's a lot weighing in your mind, it can be tough to sleep.
What about diet?
Yeah, so diet, everyone wants to know, you know, what food do I eat that's going to keep me from getting Alzheimer's disease? I think the best data is for a Mediterranean diet, which is a little bit vague, but it's generally a diet that's rich in whole grains, kind of lean meat, a lot of fish, a lot of olive oil, a lot of green leafy vegetables have a lot of antioxidants. And that sort of diet is associated with a lower risk of many diseases. In fact, a heart disease and dementia later in life. So if you can do it, you know, eating a diet like that is always good. It's definitely not what you're going to get at your typical fast food place. So it takes some effort to do that. But certainly, I think fish has a lot of these omega-3 fatty acids in it that are very good for your brain, probably lower inflammation in your brain. That's good for you. You know, dark-colored vegetables and fruits that have a lot of antioxidants, things like spinach, broccoli, blueberries, cherries. There's some evidence that people that eat a lot of these kind of antioxidant-rich fruits and vegetables have lower risk. You know, people want to know about supplements, you know, are supplements, is there some pill you can take that's going to lower your risk? Nothing's been proven along those lines. So I think that's important when you see ads on TV that say, oh, we're going to, this drug or that drug is going to, you know, lower your risk. None of that's been borne out. You know, these things may work, they may not, but there's really no strong evidence for, you know, a supplement that you might buy online that contains various ingredients, and maybe some of those ingredients could be bad. So I would talk with your doctor before taking a bunch of supplements, expecting that they're going to lower your risk of Alzheimer's disease.
If you were or are a smoker, or you drink a lot of alcohol, could those increase your risk?
Yes. So, I mean, I think those kind of habits, like clearly unhealthy habits are, you know, all risk factors for, you know, your brain sort of accumulates damage over the course of your life. And so the more hard on it you are by smoking, it can damage the blood vessels in the brain, and it can cause, you know, put you at higher risk for stroke or for vascular disease in the brain. Alcohol is a little more complex. Certainly drinking a lot is harmful. You know, there is some evidence that people that drink maybe one or two drinks a day don't necessarily have an increased risk of dementia, and maybe even have a slightly lower risk than people that don't drink at all. But some of that data has come into question. So I think with alcohol, it's more of a moderation question. But in general, I think if you have other medical problems, so, you know, things like diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, sleep apnea, these are all independent risk factors for Alzheimer's disease. So if you have these things, the number one thing you need to do is make sure you get those under control. You know, work with your doctors to keep your blood sugar in line, keep your, you know, blood pressure under control, keep your cholesterol low, because those things will, you know, have a pretty strong effect on your risk for Alzheimer's. So you can start there, and by limiting, you know, clearly unhealthy habits.
One of the things that I've heard is that ongoing mental stimulation, really challenging your brain, it is helpful. Is that myth or reality?
No, it's reality. You know, it's based on, there's studies showing that people that are highly educated and have mentally demanding jobs seem to have lower risk of Alzheimer's. And the thinking is that they have more what we call cognitive reserve, meaning their brain has more connections, it has more nerve cells, it's more ironclad against degeneration. So they can actually lose more and still function at a high level. And so we think that keeping your brain in good shape, keeping your body in good shape, exercise is very important. We can talk about that, you know, down the road, but cognitive stimulation is really important. So, you know, your brain is a use it or lose it organ. You know, you have to exercise it just like you exercise your body. If you don't have any stimulation in your life, then, you know, your risk of dementia goes up. And so it's very important. Now, what exactly you do is still a question. I think scientists are still working on that. Like, is there one thing, you know, is Sudoku the best thing, or is the New York Times crossword puzzle? I wouldn't say that we know that yet. I think that variety is the spice of life when it comes to this kind of thing, and keeping, you know, your brain active in many different ways. You know, if you do nothing but Sudoku, you're going to get really good at Sudoku, but that may not transfer to other areas, you know, like memory or problem solving. So, you know, I tell my patients to try to keep as active as they can in as many ways as they can. Do something different, challenge their brain, you know, and try to do a math problem, try to do some memory things, do some word-based work, you know, watch a movie, listen to music, as much as you can do to kind of stimulate your brain. And in fact, hearing loss is a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. And we think it's because people are losing, you know, that auditory input into their brain. And so they're just getting that much less stimulation.
Is there any one place that you would recommend our listeners go for some really good fact-based information on this?
Yeah, well, the Alzheimer's Association is always a great place to go. So they vet all the information they have on their website. They have all kinds of informational sessions. They have information on the website. It's a great place. I think as long as listeners kind of stick to kind of reliable sources, you know, places like the Mayo Clinic or Washington University or SLU or whatever, you know, universities that have information on their website are usually a good place to go. It can get murky in the internet when you get off the beaten track a little bit. So I would stick to sort of brands that you know are legitimate, like healthcare providers, and deal with these things on, you know, a legitimate level.
That's WashU neurology professor Dr. Eric Musick joining us on KMOX.